Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 22nd of November. I am Paul White. Good to be with you today, and we return to our verse-by-verse look at 1 Corinthians. We're in the 12th chapter. Last couple of days, we did the Out and Back podcast, heading to and from the airport to our recent trip to Irving, Texas. I hope you enjoyed those podcasts. Today is Friday. We are not doing Long Form Friday. We are going to do one next week. And the reason, there's no reason why, other than next week I know is the Friday after Thanksgiving here in the United States. That's a big travel time, Thanksgiving is, for a lot of people. So you may have a long drive coming back from somewhere on Thanksgiving, and our Long Form Friday next week will be over an hour long. I'll tell you what it is next week, no spoilers, but you're going to enjoy it next Friday. Also, I'll give you the Sunday rundown tomorrow, let's jump into some text today. How about it? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let me give you a little bitty review simply by reading. I'm going to start in verse 12 and read on down a little ways. You'll get back into the flow of where we are. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Or some of our older Greek translations don't say the word into, so it's we've all been made to drink one Spirit. 14, for in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Simple questions. He uses a foot and an ear. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? He introduces another body part, the eye. Good question. If everything's an eye, who would do the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would be the smelling? Now Paul introduces the nose. Can you see what he's doing? We get a foot, an ear, an eye, and a nose. Some of them are sensory organs. They see or they smell or they hear, but they're not all the same thing, and that's the point. They have a role, but they don't have the exact same role. And if we were all the same thing, there would be some diminishment in some area, whether we realize it or not. So if everyone could see, who would hear? If everyone could hear, who would smell? Now, how do you break that into, take it out of the metaphoric and into the realm of the spirit? Well, that's the point. That's the journey of the next several verses. And so let's proceed from there. But now, verse 18, but now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Okay, we introduce a couple more. Now we have the hand. We had the foot back in 15, so the hand gets involved now. So the eye can't say, I don't need the hand. The head can't say, I don't need the foot. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. So what seems to not have as big of a function is necessary. Take that in the realm of the metaphor. Just because you don't think about a certain body part, whatever body part, you don't consider it very often, doesn't mean you want to do without it. Imagine that you actually had to do without it. That which you hadn't thought much about now becomes the only thing you can think about. So we find that these things are of greater necessity than we realize. 23, are those members of the body which we think to be less honorable? Oh, I'm sorry. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And we now know, we can tell that Paul's transitioning from the metaphor into the spiritual reality. That just because there are those who are part of the body whom we don't think are important, we have an obligation to take care of them because we're starting to realize that they are part of us and we are part of them. I think this helps when you view the human family this way too. If you see humanity and say, I have a responsibility to try and take care of humanity, to help my brother, to help those that are in need. As you do that, you do it because you realize they are important. No schism, no division in the body. It's 26, if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. The word now is Paul's true transition. All of this has been metaphoric. Of course, his audience hearing it or reading it, they have to know Paul's not giving an anatomy lesson. He must be using this analogy to say something greater, and now they figure out what that greater is. And the now is that transition moment. Paul does this in other spots. One that jumps out to me is Romans 3:21, where Paul talks about now righteousness is through faith in Christ. The contrast is that up throughout history, man had tried to achieve righteousness through his performance, and then now things have changed. And so now Paul wants to transition the listener into realizing that we're all members individually, but we are part of the body. And as I said a few days ago, we maintain our individual liberty, but we have corporate identity as well. And God has appointed these in the church: first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. It does seem that Paul is listing them off in order of importance, at least in the church age that he is in. This is a now thing. And apostles and prophets and teachers, then miracles and gifts of healings and helps and administrations and varieties of tongues. But notice that not all of these are the ones listed earlier in the chapter, which tells me Paul is simply rounding out the list from way back in verses 9 and, 8, 9, and 10. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healings, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues. Remember, these were gifts, ministries, and activities of the Spirit. And now you add to that apostles, you already had prophets, you already had miracles, you already had gifts of healings, add to that helps, add to that administrations, and then he brings tongues back. So you take the same list from earlier in the chapter and you add some things to it. And it's not because Paul forgot them, but because as he's writing these things out, the Holy Spirit begins to show him other gifts, ministries, and activities. It's interesting that we make an enormous deal of, say, the gifts of healings, but we don't make an enormous deal of helps. God appointed helps in the church and administration. There is some form of administration in the church. It doesn't have to mirror the world, but it's there. And it apparently, it's important enough to talk about as part of the gift, administration, and ministry of the Spirit. And then this question: are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? These are rhetorical questions, of course. Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, or the Greek word, greater gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. So in the argument of who gets what, we're all individuals. We all have access to the Holy Spirit, but we don't all move and operate in the same gifts, ministries, and administrations. We should be earnestly desiring the greatest gift we can walk in. And then listen to this last phrase: and yet I show you a more excellent way. And that's a perfect transition for us into tomorrow, the more excellent way. See you then. God bless.